You know, this day and age, we're always looking for ways that we can perhaps save a little money. And when it comes to food, I know that's something we, you know, you don't want to skimp on food. You've got to, we all have to eat. So we can't really stop. You know, I can postpone the purchase of a car or I can, you know, there are expenses that I can postpone. But I'm going to be eating every day and I hope you are too. What about eating really well? Can we get the most nutrition for our dollars that we spend? We're going to talk about that today. A couple of guests. Gail Coleman is a specialist with UW Extension in the nutrition education program. Gail, great to have you with us. Thanks for coming by.
Well, thanks for having me.
And with me as well, Shelley King Curry, who directs the UW Extension Nutrition Education Program. Is that correct?
I'm also a specialist.
No, you're...
So, it's...
Well, I almost
okay.
had it right.
It's okay. It's all right.
So you're a nutrition specialist with the nutrition program as well, then?
That's correct.
All right. Well, I tell you what. How does one get involved in a program like this?
With the nutrition education programs that we have in Wisconsin? Well, our program is geared primarily for low-income families, and we have an office in almost every single county across the state. And if people are interested in learning more about the nutrition education program, I would suggest they call their county office, or they could look at the Cooperative Extension website and pull up the nutrition education program from there.
And, you know, I guess no matter what your income level, it doesn't really make a difference. We could all probably mostly lower our food bill and still eat healthy. And there are ways that we can do that.
Oh, absolutely. Most people don't actually meet expert recommendations for eating healthy foods. And one of the reasons they state is that it's too expensive to purchase healthy foods. But there are a few things that you can do to really keep your costs down. For example, just substituting healthier foods for less healthy foods can be cost neutral or not any more expensive. For example, you can buy a medium apple at most grocery stores for about 50 cents. Well, that's less than buying an individual candy bar at the checkout counter. So just making a few of those smart choices and substitutions is one strategy.
That's a great strategy, and I'm thinking about that. And I was thinking about what we have around our house, Shelley, and we usually have some apples sitting around, and we also have bananas out there as well. And I don't think we've got any candy bar. We might have some candy bars somewhere. We got a 9-year-old, so I'm sure there may be some there somewhere. But it's easy once that food is out there.
I agree, and that's a great point, which you brought up, is that having it sitting out and visible so you get those constant reminders to eat it. I think one of the biggest challenges that individuals have is that they actually purchase healthy foods, especially fruits and vegetables, and where do they go? They go into the refrigerator, they're out of sight, they're out of mind. So along with purchasing those items is making them available and constant reminders, as you say, having them sitting out on the table, on a bowl, so that people are seeing them and eating them, because you can buy healthy foods at a cost savings, but if you don't eat it, you waste it. That's just throwing away money.
That's right out the is lighting up a dollar bill and watching it burn.
Exactly.
We have some callers online. By the way, you can join in. How hard is it to stay within your food budget? You have some information or tips for buying healthy food and saving money at the same time, or maybe talk a little bit about the types of food. Maybe there's a part of your food budget you'd like to spend less on without sacrificing health. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234, the number to call. Can email us as well at talk@wpr.org, or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mehler Show. You can post a question or a comment there. Love to hear from you. David in South Milwaukee. Let's turn to you. Hi, David. Thanks for calling.
Well, good morning.
Morning.
I have been using egg white protein in many dishes because it's a very reasonable way to add the protein content to any dishes, especially bean dishes. But when I heat it up in the microwave, it gets a little rubbery. I like the texture, but I'm wondering if I'm degrading the protein by doing that.
You know, David, I think that's a great question. Unfortunately, I don't know the answer to that. I think that would be a good question for someone in our food science department. So I don't know. Shelley, do you have any more information that you might be able to provide?
I agree with you. I think going to our food science department, I'm at a loss right now for a direct email, but I know that we do have a specialist who could probably answer that question. So what I can do is I can share it back with her, and at some
post
point
something
in time,
up on
we
our
can
Facebook
post
page.
It on your Facebook. Yeah, Facebook page. That's a great idea.
All right. Thanks, David, for calling. We'll follow up on that. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. I'd love to hear from you. One of the things, I was doing a little reading and looking at some of your materials, and one of the things that struck me again was buying seasonally, because there's quite a difference between what an orange costs in the middle of the winter versus the middle of the summer.
Oh, yeah, that's a really good point, Larry. Fortunately, in Wisconsin, we will get spring and we will get summer eventually, and we have some really good, we can get some really good locally grown foods here. For example, in the early parts of the summer, you usually find asparagus is much less expensive than it is other times of the year. That's not to say that it's going to be really inexpensive, because it depends upon, you know, what the season's like and things like that. But asparagus and some of your cool season leafy greens like spinach and sugar snap peas are usually a pretty good price in the early parts of the summer because of the fact that they're seasonal. It's also good to kind of know when things are a better buy at different times of the year. You mentioned oranges, and of course we don't grow oranges in Wisconsin, but because they're in season in the southern states or in California, in the fall or winter months, we generally can get them at a better price up here between like Thanksgiving and early parts of the winter.
We should talk a little bit about starches. Frankly, I like starches. Well, the breads, the grains, the pastas, and the cereals. How do you increase the nutrition while keeping the cost down with in those areas, Shelley?
I would say, first of all, in terms of eating healthy, you definitely want to look at whole grains. And there are a number of items that are low cost. When you think about whole grains, healthy grains such as oatmeal, which you can purchase, it's easy to prepare. Also, brown rice is inexpensive. There are a lot of options in terms of breads. I notice myself oftentimes that you get wonderful buys at stores. They have them on sale. Keeping track of when things are on sale, buying on sale. Grains are great for freezing, so oftentimes you can buy a couple of loaves of bread and freeze the other when it's on sale. Those are options to consider. I also would recommend that when you have certain items like cereals that you can buy in bulk, grains lend themselves very well to bulk purchases. Oftentimes we look at packages, but if you consider the bulk aisle, you can find better deals than buying the packaged items. So there are lots of ways to increase your cost in eating healthy. I would aim for increasing whole grains. I don't expect individuals to change overnight, and I think that's one of the challenges, is that you have to start where you are and make changes slowly and gradually and look for those opportunities. And just to go back to the conversation about fruits and vegetables and items that are in season, oftentimes individuals may shun or not consider frozen or canned fruits and vegetables. And I would recommend that if you're looking at buying fruits and vegetables that are very inexpensive out of season, is to consider fruits and vegetables that are frozen and canned. Those without added sugar are healthy options. They're inexpensive. They often can be found on sale, and it allows you to continue to have that variety throughout the year. So for most frozen items, they are frozen right after harvesting, so they still have the nutritional quality and value. And oftentimes you can find them on sale. And just getting to know when sales are being offered at your store is one way to stay on top of it and buy those items in volume so you have bigger savings over time.
Let's turn to Tony in Wausau next. Tony, hi. Thank you for calling.
Well, good morning.
Morning.
Say, we've kind of, and it's expensive, my wife has studied this quite a bit. We've gone to grass-fed meat. We've gone to all organic. We've gone to dairy products that are free of, what is that, BHS or?
BGH.
BGH. And we've gone to products that are free of GMOs. We don't want any GMOs. It is expensive because here in Wausau, we don't have a big organic food store like you do in Madison or in Janesville. What is your feelings about that? Is it worth the extra money?
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, the purchases that you make, whether you're buying organic or without growth hormone or something like that, I mean, those are your choices, and that's great. For people that are on a really limited budget, it might be a real stretch for them. What you might consider is with things like the protein products that you were talking about, the grass-fed beef, most people eat a lot more meat than they really need. Our portion sizes for meat are high, and because of that, a lot of times the major portion of a food bill is the meat expense. So what you could do is maybe consider looking at consuming somewhat smaller portions of that. When it comes to organic produce, might look at what might be some of the organic fruits and vegetables that don't have it, or what are some of the fruits and vegetables that don't have as much pesticide applied to them or are less likely to containing.
And we'll talk some more about that. Our guests today, Shelley King Curry and Gail Coleman, UW Extension Nursing Education Program Specialists, and they'll be with us right up until 12:30 today here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. A real key to good health is having tasty and nutritious food, and we all want to buy the best food possible. But for many of us, we also have a budget that we need to kind of stick with, and it can be hard to know how to stretch that food budget while getting the best food possible. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network. We're lucky to have a couple of UW Extension nutrition specialists with us today, nutrition education specialists, Shelley King Curry and Gail Coleman. They know a lot about how to get the most nutrition for your money. And maybe you've got some tips. What do you do to stretch your food budget while buying wholesome food? Love to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234. Can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show. Click like while you're there. We'll send you regular updates on upcoming show topics. Back after the news. Sometimes when you think about food that's good for you, in quotes, maybe we could say, you might think that, oh, that's not going to taste as good as the some of that naughty food that I really enjoy. But really, you can make wonderful, satisfying meals that are good for you, and they can actually save you money and be delicious as well. Larry Mueller here. You may be familiar with UW Extension guests that join us for Garden Talk programs, but there are some great nutrition education specialists as well. Shelley King Curry and Gail Coleman, specialists with UW Extension's nutrition education program, and with me in the studios today. Great to have them along, and thank you so much for listening in. And as we move along here, talking about how to save money and how to eat nutritious food for less, I hope you'll join in with your own suggestions or your own questions or comments. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question or a comment there. And Stella in Sturgeon Bay has been waiting a little bit. So let's go to Stella. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi. I'm calling for the benefit of those people who do not live near a large Whole Foods or Natural Foods or Co-op such as Willie Street Co-op in Madison,
yeah,
who don't have access to that. My husband and I have, for many years, in Iowa, Missouri, and Wisconsin, been members of a food buying club.
Oh.
And we order once a month, and our club welcomes members anytime. We're located in Sturgeon Bay, and if people are interested, the warehouse that services this Wisconsin, I think they're the only warehouse around. You can look them up on the internet. Their main website is www.unfi for United Natural Foods Incorporated.
Mm-hmm.
unfi.com.
Okay.
And to check for buying clubs, it's again www.unitedbuyingclubs.com.
UnitedBuyingClubs.com.
Right, and I believe at that website you can locate a buying club near you and how to contact them to see if you can join up. And probably, I don't know for sure, but there probably are instructions for forming your own buying club. And they have a very large selection of organic foods and general grocery, you know, the more natural type brands of general grocery merchandise, everything from bulk grains and beans and whatever, and dried fruits, to single tubes of toothpaste or hand soap or
mm-hmm.
household cleaning products.
A little of everything. Okay. Gail, what do you think about buying clubs?
Oh, that sounds like a great idea. It's something that I had not heard of before. I'm certainly familiar with co-op type grocery stores, and they are geared for helping us to save money by being able to buy things in bulk and things like that. So it sounds like a great idea. I'll have to check into it.
It does, me, yeah, it does. And I heard Stella saying, Shelley, that a lot of buying in bulk, which you were talking about
yes.
earlier, which same. Seems to make some good sense financially.
Especially for items that you have space to store and that have long shelf life, it does make sense because you're paying less per unit for the item. So that's the biggest consideration, is you want to avoid waste. So if you're buying in bulk and there are items that you cannot consume or use, then it's not a savings. It's a savings if you have some place to put it. And oftentimes individuals may not have the storage, may not have the freezer space, and that can tend to be a problem. But if you do have it, I would consider that. I would also ask individuals to consider community gardens. They seem to be on the rise. A lot of our extension colleagues and counties are becoming more aware of community gardens that are developing and now exist. So if you're interested and have some interest and finding out if there's one in your local community, I would recommend contacting your county extension office. Our nutrition colleagues are often aware if community gardens are available. Oftentimes, individuals can join these at minimal cost, some at no cost. They don't have the resources, and it's a good way of having a variety of fruits and vegetables available to you at low cost, because once you join the garden, it's usually not a cost to eat fruits and vegetables that are grown, especially those
yeah.
that you grow, and maybe others in the gardens, because people usually have more than enough. So I would consider that, but also growing your own food. Whether it's a container garden, depending upon your space, you can do an herb garden in your kitchen, you can have your own backyard garden, and we have colleagues who are available to answer questions, such as our Master Gardener volunteers through Cooperative Extension. So if you're interested in even starting your own garden, you start with your county extension office for questions.
Actually, very good points. Kay in Maryland, Wisconsin. Let's turn to you next. Hi, Kay. Thank you for calling.
Hi. When my kids were little, they loved macaroni and cheese. I mean, that was their all-time favorite thing. And I would race my daughter making it from scratch because she said that was so much faster to make it from the box. So by the time she got her water boiled, I already had my white sauce made and put my cheese in it, and I was done before she had a chance. So convenient food is not all the time convenient, and you pay a whole lot more for it. You know, my macaroni and cheese is a whole lot cheaper than hers was. And now I found on the internet where you can make your own laundry soap, so I've started doing that. And I'm paying maybe 8 cents a load, and the clothes are a lot cleaner.
Oh, good for
and
you.
I've got stains that have been in my clothes for years that are gone now.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, making stuff from scratch is so much better, and it's easy, it's faster. You know, you don't have to toil as much as you used to.
You know, now somebody's going to ask me, why didn't you ask for the name of the site where you go to have the make the soap? Because people are going to say, wait a minute, she's making all this, get all these. Do you have that off the top of your head, Kate?
I found it on Facebook, and okay. it's a cup of 20 Mule Team Borax, a cup of super washing soda. I'd never heard of it, but it's in there with the laundry soaps. And it's just like baking soda stuff. Mm-hmm. I guess they use it for cleaning pools or something. I don't know. And that fleece bar soap that you use for stains on clothes. And yeah. you grate up the bar of soap and you put the two cups together, mix it all up, and you use two tablespoons. And it's amazing.
And it's cheaper.
Yes. And my fiber rags that I use for cleaning, you know, the mm-hmm. microfiber rags, yeah. they get real greasy. Well, I soaked those in that super washing soda stuff, and the grease just floated right out. It was amazing. So now those are clean. I don't have to throw them away.
Kate, you sound like my kind of gal here.
Oh, I love doing this stuff. And I work full time, so, you know, it's not like I have time to do extras.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's mm-hmm. a lot faster.
Yeah.
Well, Kay, you bring up a really good point about how we do pay for convenience at times, and that happens with food as well as soaps and mm-hmm. other products. When you look at some of the salad bags and things like that, you pay more when you get the salad that's already prepared than if you would just buy the greens mm-hmm. and salad fixings and put them together yourself. And it's not that you have to do everything from scratch all the time, but knowing just some really basic food preparation and how to put things together skills can get you pretty far. And when you think in terms of health, the foods that are less processed are healthier too, because usually when things are processed, things like salt and sugar and preservatives are added to them. So a little bit of basic food preparation and preparing some things from scratch can really go a long way in terms of saving some money and healthier eating.
Thanks, Kay. And just to go along with that, Tracy sent us an email, and she was wondering about the best way to eat kale and incorporate kale into your diet. It's actually fairly cheap right now, and it's kind of all the rage, too. People are kind of a popular item right now. Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the things that I personally do with kale is I add it to other greens, in particular collards. One of the things about kale is that it holds up well to heat. I often require it a little longer in cooking. But in terms of texture, if you're going to store or freeze what you cook, it does better after freezing. It doesn't get as wilted. You can also wash kale and use it in salads. It's also wonderful in terms of wrapping other items. Like if you want to do a sandwich, you can wrap it in kale. Oftentimes people will do lettuce wraps, but you could do kale wraps. There is a variety. It's whatever your pleasure is. I think one of the things that I would always recommend is to experiment. There are a number of recipes that you can consider. There is the USDA website, My Pyramid with Recipes. All you have to do is put kale in and do a search, and a number of recipes can come up with it. Mm. So there are a lot of options, and there's probably more things being added as we think about different fruits and vegetables that are available, and we want people to consider recipes are coming in. So that would be one of the places that I would go to.
And let's repeat that again. So the USDA, because this might not be something that people would automatically think of when they were thinking about recipes and how to use various products.
Yeah, so the My Plate. So you would want to go to the USDA My Plate. You could just Google My Plate. Yeah, My Plate.
Yeah. Choose My Plate.
Choose My Plate.
Choose My Plate.
.gov.
G-O-V.
All right, and you're going to get the information and a lot of recipes then.
They do have a lot of recipes.
They have a lot of recipes.
Great things out there. Mm-hmm. Another way that I've heard kale used is as kale chips. So basically, people tear kale up into smaller pieces, toss it with a little oil, put it in the oven for a while, and it comes out kind of like potato chips.
Judith Sears Poisson, my producer, is sitting there saying, I love kale chips. Mm-hmm. I love kale chips.
They're becoming
they
more
are
popular
good.
Too.
They really. Mm-hmm. And you know, kale's good for you, too.
It is.
It's not
good.
Like it's. That's a, it's a good product. Lynn in Milwaukee. Yeah, Lynn in Milwaukee. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi there. One thing I've done for years to stretch my budget and eat healthier is to buy foods that are under $2 a pound, or with the recent price increase, under $2.50 a pound. You end up with beans, rice, fruits, vegetables, lower-cost meat, and to make that more tender, use a pressure cooker. It's an old-fashioned thing, but it still works really well.
You know, yes. I think Lynn's exactly right, isn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yep, and I've heard pressure cookers being used to cook beans, too, mm-hmm. although you have to be careful because there could be a little bit of an explosion if you don't do it right, so you've got to figure out how to do it right. But pressure cookers are great for cooking leaner or cuts of meat that might be a little bit tougher. Tough.
Yeah.
And take a little bit longer to cook. Mm-hmm. The other point that you bring up is beans are a great protein source that are very inexpensive and very healthy. And I think people shy away from them sometimes. But that's something that I would encourage people to try.
Yeah, my mother always had lots of dried beans, and then she'd soak those beans, and they were some of the best recipes. Oh, I can still taste those beans. I can still taste those beans. And they're, not a lot of fooling around. I mean, she'd get the pan out, put some water in it, throw the beans in, and they'd sit, or she'd clean them a little bit, and...
Not
that was all
bad.
There was to it.
Not too bad.
And really, even if you purchase canned beans, which are super convenient, I mean, all you really have to do is open the can.
Open them up.
One of the things with canned beans is they do have the salt added or the sodium. But if you rinse them under cool water, you can actually remove about half the salt. So it's a healthier way to have canned beans if you don't want to go through the soaking and cooking of the dried.
Exactly.
And Judith reminds me that lentils don't even need soaking.
That's right.
No, they
She's
don't.
Right.
There we go. Ken in Mayville. Hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. How you doing?
Great.
I'm a chef, and I pretty much make everything from scratch in my house as well for my family, and it really does save a lot of time. And really, if people can learn their knife skills and really hone those down, it saves a whole lot of time on your prep and makes things a whole lot easier. And one of the things I like to do with kale is my wife and I actually use them in smoothies, a little bit of banana, some kale, celery, and squeeze some lemon in there. You can also put some apple juice in. They really make some nice smoothies also. And, yes, the laundry soap is definitely... saves a lot of money, and my chef's uniforms come out a whole lot cleaner. laundry soap.
Oh, that's wonderful, Ken. Are you a professional chef then somewhere?
Yeah, I actually work up at the American Club in Kohler, and I also have my own gourmet barbecue sauce line all around the state that I'm out promoting all the time. So I'm pretty busy, and my wife is also self-employed. So we're both very busy, and we have two kids. So I'm able to find time to cook most of our meals at home, and when I know I'm not going to be home, I try to prep up stuff so that she can throw something together real easy.
I know you didn't call to talk about it, but somebody's going to say, why didn't you get the name of the barbecue sauce? So tell me the name of the barbecue.
It's Howling Wolf Barbecue, and you can go to my website. It's hwbbq.com, and I have a lot of really quick, easy recipes on the website as well. That utilize my barbecue sauce and its versatility.
Sounds like you're doing things right, Ken. Thank you so much. Comments from Sean?
I have a comment. One of the things I want to also add to what Ken said, I think it's really important to plan meals and cook meals in batches where you can freeze. It's really a good idea because we talk about convenience and lack of time, is that if you do have an opportunity, like on the weekends, to cook large amounts of food, freeze individual portions, you're more likely to come home, heat it up, especially if it's frozen, it's a matter of a microwave, so you make a convenience product for yourself. which leads to you being less likely to go to a restaurant because tonight you're rushed, you don't feel like cooking or buying takeout because you have food at home and you don't have to prepare it other than put it in the microwave as what you would do with a frozen meal that you buy as a mm-hmm. convenience food. It's food you prepared, it's healthier, and you save money because you're not adding to your cost by going out to a restaurant or doing carryout. So I think it's really important to plan and think about when are you going to prepare meals and preparing meals for a week. So thinking about planning, thinking ahead is a way to save because then you can budget better, you can take advantage of sales, and then you can use food items up so that you're not likely to waste things. Mm-hmm. So you're just not buying what you like. You have a plan for using it.
Yeah, I was thinking back to my single days when I was, you know, all by myself in a home there. So cooking for one, I would, mm-hmm. Sunday was my cooking day. I usually often have mm-hmm. friends over, but I always cook way more. And then mm-hmm. that's what I'd be eating the next week usually mm-hmm. And it was a nice way to do it, especially when you're just cooking for one or maybe two people. Mm-hmm. It's good to have, as you say, have those things kind of packaged up, maybe frozen for later on. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and even with a family, just get everybody involved in the kitchen and just make a family event of cooking on Sunday. What are we going to have for the week? Mm-hmm. Get the kids involved.
No, and actually, we do that now. I'm out on the grill a lot more now these days, and I really enjoy doing it. Actually, for the three of us, David in South Milwaukee. Thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi, and thanks for having me on. I really appreciate your show and your topic today. What I wanted to talk about is something I learned about a few years ago from a video in a movie called Forks Over Knives. It's a dietary plan based on whole food, plant-based diet, which generally means exactly what it says. You eat whole foods like whole grains, whole wheat, whole rice, whole wheat bread, and whole plants, which means fruits, vegetables, salads, you know, beets, a variety. And also, I'm a single guy. And I buy a lot of stuff when I go shopping. When I cook a meal, I make a lot of it, and I freeze portions of it so that days I'm not cooking, I just rip something out of the freezer, and I don't have to do a lot of cooking for one. It's just a great diet. I lost 30 pounds in 6 months when I switched from being a standard American diet and changing to just shopping around the perimeter of the grocery store, saving money at the same time.
Well, 30 pounds in 6 months, and that's about the right amount. If you're thinking about losing weight, maybe 5 pounds a month, that's a good, healthy way to, you know, to lose weight, I think. Isn't it?
Absolutely, it yeah. is. And he went about it the right way in terms of, you know, just making healthier food choices mm-hmm. and it sounds like he didn't really have to do a lot of effort to take off the weight, just making some changes to his diet to make it healthier, fewer processed foods. It sounds like a good plan.
Well, isn't it true? I was trying to remember, this is probably something I had from you guys. Isn't it about half your plate should be fruits and vegetables?
Yes.
Yep, that is the recommendation when you look at the My Plate recommendations. Of course, you know, most people don't eat enough fruits and vegetables, so the My Plate graphic and showing the proportion of half the plate being fruits and vegetables was a really good way to kind of remind people to focus on those fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, that's a good point. David, thank you again for calling. I appreciate it. And Lynette in Richfield, hi, thank you for calling.
Hi. I love to make homemade chicken stock, keep it in the freezer all the time. Mm-hmm. And then I take all my scraps from carrots, celery, so on and so forth throughout the month, and then freeze the scraps so when I'm ready to make stock, I have it. I was wondering what their thoughts were on the parts of the chicken that make the best
stock?
Chicken stock.
Hmm. Any ideas on that in the last 20 seconds or so here?
You know, I'm not sure what the best parts are, but, you know, I find just like a whole chicken or, you know, the chicken meat with a little bit of the fat in there makes a good, tasty stock. You can always chill the stock down and remove the fat later if you'd like to. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, your suggestion for putting in some vegetables and maybe you're adding some spices and herbs probably is right on.
Yeah.
Well, this has been great, Shelley and Gail. Thank you so much. A website, we've got some, I think we've got some things up on my Facebook page to tell people where to go to find some more information from UW Extension and the Nutrition Education Program. So thank you both. We'll try and do this again. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Shelley King-Curry and Gail Coleman, our guests. Thanks for listening. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.